Pops picked the place up for $1,500 back in 1964. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, live in the Fishbowl, downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Hey, Danielle.
Hey, Joel. You know, I kind of miss hearing Girls Night Out. I'm so happy you're back. But 2 weeks ago, when I had my last female on the radio.
Your all-female cast?
Yeah, both weeks. So 2 weeks ago and so 3 weeks ago.
You know what? It makes
Girls
me very...
Night
it, it makes me very happy that when we have female-dominated shows here, because one of the most important things in the outdoors is that women are the fastest-growing group of outdoor users. Hunters, fishermen, and outdoor users in the state of Wisconsin. They're buying more licenses than men at a faster rate. And what I say is, let's continue to proliferate that and make sure we do everything we can to encourage new hunters and new fishermen. And somebody who actually hit a new milestone just a week ago, Rita Verhaelen, is joining us for this week's show. We're psyched to have you here.
I'm psyched to be here.
Danielle and I talk a lot about what it takes to get women into the outdoors and how important it is that we have the fastest growing group of new hunters is women aged 18 to 35. And I don't think it even, I mean, that's the fastest growing group, but I think there's women of all ages now who are starting in the outdoors for the first time. Why do you think that is?
I think some of it is just because it's more, we see it more. It's more out there. It's more of something that, oh, I can do that too. Where I think before it was a guy's thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Guys hunting clubs and guys. And so now it's just kind of like, no, we can do this too. And it's fun.
More accessible too. Maybe more accessible.
Absolutely.
Or more apparently accessible.
Mm-hmm. I would say probably more apparently. Because truthfully, I mean, there probably always was some of that ability, but it's just more of, hey, this is something I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just available more, I think.
And then they have a bunch of female clothes for us to fit in.
Absolutely.
I have, I'm dealing with this issue right now. I'm trying to find new waders, and I keep buying men's waders, and the neoprene ones and the insulated ones as well, the light ones. But oh my goodness, trying to, for us females, to fit into men's waders is in completely different proportions in some areas, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
And it's just like,
I totally know what you mean.
I can't. It's just so uncomfortable. Like, I'm walking and I feel like I'm, you know, wearing my pants down to my knees. I'm like, I can't do this.
Maybe we should design some waders and start a waiter company.
Well, I'm down to start anything.
There's got to be money to be made in making sure that the fastest growing group of new hunters has things to wear when they're in the woods.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
absolutely.
They have the She Outdoor ones, which I tried, but then like the straps on them are just don't fit me perfectly. But oh, and I'm venting about this. I need to vent for a little bit. The female stuff that we have no pockets. Why do we not have pockets?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm so annoyed by that. I need pockets.
I literally buy outdoor clothing because of the pockets.
Yeah, like I ordered Sitka stuff, right? And the men's Sitka, they're the exact same pattern, the exact same name, which I cannot think of right now. But the men's have like six pockets. I have two small pockets. Small.
Yeah, that doesn't
like,
make sense.
My whole hand doesn't even fit in it. But it's the exact same. Smaller
right,
material.
Name of it,
yeah.
The type
everything's
of pant
the same.
It is, yes. The whole
Why
thing.
Do I not have pockets? Okay, vent over. Thank you. I got that off
One
my
of the
chest.
Other problems
I feel
with,
better now.
I feel like with clothes, a lot of times, especially for women, is it seems like it costs more.
Yeah.
For
less material.
Women's version. And so it's like, well, wait a second. Why do I have to pay more? Just because I'm a different, little bit of a different shape.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
Because in reality, it's probably using, in a lot of cases, less material.
But see, the way I think about it, maybe because there's not a good female presence out there. that they're like, okay, maybe we need to rack this up so we don't have it sitting on the shelves for X amount of years. So maybe like, oh, we're going to make less and make you spend more.
And maybe, and look, I'm a true equality guy. I'm a true equality guy in my belief that everything should be available and equal for everybody to try. Yeah. Everybody who, from man, woman, if you have a disability, you should have, you should be able to experience everything in Absolutely. The outdoors. So maybe, it is the fact that there are still mostly men designing the stuff for the hunting world. And I think we're on the precipice of hopefully that changing mm-hmm. As we see the women's influence in hunting growing substantially fast. Mm-hmm. I think that, when I pockets something so simple. I'm using 5-6 pockets for all the different things. You want your wallet secured, so you want a zippered pocket for your wallet or mm-hmm. your accoutrements that you're taking.
Chapstick.
Then you've got your calls for your chapstick, for your calls, for your lanyards, mm-hmm. for your dog controller, you name it. Mm-hmm. When you're hunting, pockets help, especially when you're talking about those duck situations, getting into a tight spot, not having a lot of backpack space or wanting to carry stuff with you.
Right. Well, because you also are putting stuff in certain pockets because they know exactly where that item is at any time if you need to use it.
Right.
Yep. And so you don't have to shuffle around for
it. Exactly. You're not shuffling between all the different stuff in your pockets to try and actually find anything.
Well, and that's a key that you said right there. I think a lot of people overlook when you're hunting how fast you need to access
yes.
something. If you see a buck far away, you need to get that grunt call mm-hmm. out of your pocket fast and up to your lips, so by the time he closes the gap that he's not seeing you move that to your lips.
Yep.
So you want
right.
it at your lips
yep.
before he's coming, so you go for that pocket. Duck hunting too. All of a sudden, if you're in standing corn and there's geese over the top of you and you've got a call in your pocket, I wear a lanyard a lot
yep.
of times, so it's right there because of that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are some really good points. Read it. Go
so
ahead.
The one of the things that I
are
did
you still,
find...
Are you not going to vent again, are you? Are you still venting?
I think my whole life's a venting session.
Calvin, is she going to vent this whole show away? I mean, it's okay. It's fine.
Well, okay, we always talk about all the positive things with women getting in the outdoors. Here are some of the negative. I have to give the good with the bad.
I think talking about some of the negative things are ways we can help people get through the negative things mm-hmm. and make them positive things. So go.
Well, and even finding solutions then.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, that's how we start to find solutions is mm-hmm. by trying to find, what's wrong?
Yeah.
And what do we do about that?
But one brand that I have found out, so all the other brands I'm talking about, but the one brand that I did find that fits me perfectly, because I'm on the taller side. I'm 5'9". Yes, that is tall. Thank you very much.
I can't see anything. I'm
Rita,
like
how
less
tall are
than
you?
6'4".
6'4"? Yes.
Yeah. You're less than 6'4".
Yes. Because
I'm like, Bill
you
is...
You caught that part, right?
I'm slightly less than 6'4" as well.
But DSG, Do Something Good. Their clothes always fit me. Always.
Is that what it stands for?
Do something good. Yeah. Huh.
I like it.
Yeah, isn't it nice?
How about that for a free commercial for DSG
right? Shameless
clothing.
Shameless
there
plug.
There you go.
But I like their stuff. It's so comfortable, and it lasts.
It really does.
I'm not, gentle with my anything. So
really? Shocking.
You act like you know me or something.
With the two of you both in the studio at the same time, I'm glad that there are things you guys can say that I would never breach. I'm just going to say that for the audience out there. Just remember who's saying what to whom during the show tonight. Before we go on, I am going to break from this topic for a minute because we left last week's show talking about the red stag hunt in Spain. And for those who are tuning in to hear how that ended up, I'm gonna make a long story short now. Ended up in Spain, got to Toledo, hunting in Cazator, which is the site of the Roman water dam, an absolute historical, unexcavated, no archaeologists has dug there. Viking remains, the Roman water dam, pottery. I'm at the foothills of the Toledo Mountains, and we see a red stag about 350 yards away. I'm prone on the ground, and I hear the two guides arguing in Spanish as to whether they should let me shoot. While they're arguing, I felt comfortable enough about the shot. The one guide said he should shoot now. It's going to move. So I shoot. The guide who said not to shoot is saying I hit it in the hindquarters, in the butt. Now, I don't know if you know about these kind of hunts, but if you shoot an animal and you hit that animal, that's your animal, regardless whether you find it.
Oh, man.
That's it. So that's, I mean, traveled to Spain, spent thousands of dollars, and if you don't find that animal, tough beans. I mean, tough freeholders.
That would be heartbreaking.
That would definitely be heartbreaking.
Yes, and it happens a lot.
Travel all that way for that? Oh,
I
believe
it. In fact, I had gone to Canada, shot a bear, found a blood trail, never found that bear, and that was the bear. That was it. So I've had that happen before. So we go march the 325 yards to the spot of him, and he's trying to say I hit it in the butt, in the hindquarters, and I'm trying to explain in the best Spanish I can, I think I put a good shot on it. I really think I put a good shot.
So can you say it in Spanish? Say it in Spanish.
No.
say it in New Mexican Spanish.
Pienso era bueno. I thought it was good. I thought it was good.
I don't know any Spanish, so I believe
okay,
you.
Okay, well, you have
no... He could tell you anything.
I know.
I said, tortilla. So we get to the spot where the animal, around where the animal is, and it's crushed, like crushed up red stone on the ground, which looks enough like animal blood to begin with. And then there's little droplets on it from dew and everything else in the morning. And so the guide's insisting, I hit in the butt, it's gone, it went this way. So they go marching off, like they're 1,000, you know, yards away. And I'm at the foothills of the Toledo Mountains thinking, I my phone doesn't work. I'm going to die here. This
well,
is it.
It's beautiful.
I've just seen my last piece of humanity. I lost this red stag forever. So I'm looking in concentric circles and I find blood. And I start yelling, sangre, sangre fresca, sangre fresca. They come back. Calvin, you're laughing at this, so at least the story must be good. There's 30 seconds, 20 seconds to break. I come back, and you'll find out when we come back from break what happened with the sangre fresca.
Sounds like you're saying sangria fresca.
Well, sangria means like blood red drink, so there you go.
I don't think I want to
we'll
drink
be right
that
back.
Sangria.
On Raise the Whiskey. Welcome back to Raising Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, along with my co-host, Danielle Fairman.
My last name's not as fun as yours.
Oh, Clayfish. My gosh. Clayfish
Fairman.
Is
just
so silly.
Fairman.
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 That's a great last name.
It's
great
kind of,
radio,
fair.
TV last name. Rita's in the studio with us.
Hello.
Rita Verhaelen. Not to be confused with one of the greatest bands of all time,
Van Halen.
Who I was just listening on the way over that it's been 2 years since he died.
Who died?
This is how bad I am. The lead singer.
David Lee Roth?
No.
David Lee Roth was the lead singer of Van Halen.
No, I'm thinking of someone else, huh? No.
Yeah, you're not thinking of
No, I'm thinking
of
the wrong thing.
Okay, your name's Verhaelen. You're talking about Van Halen.
You know what? Talk to me about Verhaelen.
And you're talking about the wrong band. How can you mix up
David
a different band?
David Lee Roth.
No, it wasn't.
David Lee Roth
it was. No, it was.
I'm pretty sure.
Who died?
I know. No, I want to know. But okay, anyways.
That's
back to serious stuff.
So,
yeah.
What's that? So before the break, we were talking about the red stag hunt in Spain, and we had taken it to the point that I shot at about 325 yards, thought I put a good hit on it. One of the guides wasn't sure. The other guide was fairly certain I hit it in the hindquarters, which meant it would be in the next Spanish county.
She has the face. Hold on.
Do you have the...
You can finish. No, you can finish.
Tell me what band leader died to you.
No, not band leader. I did not necessarily say the leader.
Okay. The singer.
Eddie Van Halen.
Eddie Van Halen died?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
2 years ago, October 6, 2020.
I didn't know that. Well, rest in peace, Eddie Van Halen.
See, I did know on my Van Halen.
You were right. It was Van Halen. But
do you know his middle name?
Steve?
Lodwijk? Lodwijk? Here. You're a lot, you know, better than me.
I don't really
care. All right, so back to you.
He was married to Valerie Bertinelli, though. Yes. I did know that.
Oh, my gosh.
So I shoot at 325 yards, and the guide is saying, no, you didn't kill it. You will never find this thing. And I'm literally in Spain. This is the third day I'm in Spain, and my heart is in my stomach. Mm-hmm. I am sunk. Like, I just had a chance at harvesting one of the most beautiful, delicious animals in the world, and I messed it up because I was anxious. I pulled the trigger too early, but I kept saying to myself, I had a good shot. I took a good shot. I was sure of it. So they go marching across into nowhere. I find blood. I'm yelling, Sangre Fresca, fresh blood. And they turn around and come back, and I show them the blood, and then we lose the blood. We can't find the blood trail. So they go walking off again, and this is over the course of probably an hour and a half, 2 hours, and I am devastated. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. If you hunt enough, you have hit an animal, even hit an animal well, look for it, and just don't find it. And it's heartbreaking. And it's a shame. There's no doubt about it.
It is. Mm-hmm.
Because coyotes are going to get that animal, and that's the end of the story. So they start walking back. Pablo and Carlos start walking back. And Carlos puts his hand on my shoulder, and he points. And that animal was 10 yards from us the whole time. It had fallen under a tree. Its body was the same exact color as the rocks. Its antlers looked like limbs from the tree hanging down.
Right, branches.
And that shot was right through the heart, through double lungs. A completely, perfectly ethical shot. That animal died 10 yards from where I shot it. And for 2 hours...
Work.
I thought I would never recover that animal. And if you look on Danielle's Instagram, Danielle Fairman is her Instagram handle. You'll see a picture of that red stag, which is just an absolute beauty, and I'm really excited about having it.
It is gorgeous, 7x7.
Hanging in my house, red stag.
So what's the whole process of getting that back here?
Well, in Spain, it's actually a fairly easy process. You sign the paperwork for the import permits, and they have a taxidermist right in Toledo who was actually very good. I went and checked out his work, and they do it, and it was about 500 euros, which equates to about 500 bucks now. We have about equal currency exchange. So, and it's going to get here in like 6 months. So I thought to myself, you can't go wrong with that.
No.
Yeah.
When you bring animals from South Africa, it's much more expensive. So we'll wrap up that portion of the show, the retrospective show from last week. We were talking about the Spanish red stag hunt, and then we spent some more time in Spain, in Toledo, Spain, which was an absolute dream come true. I was able to purchase a conquistador helmet, an actual authentic conquistador helmet, which if you watch my Facebook, you will see posted in the next few days or a week or so. But that was a fantastic trip, and my dream in life, nothing excites me more than destination hunting, because I am just as much into the food and the culture and the history. And the United States is the most amazing place in the world to hunt, fish, and utilize the outdoors. There's no question about that. But our country is only a few hundred years old.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So if you want to experience hundreds and hundreds of years old, thousands of years old, and still experience a culture and a hunt, you can do it. And you can do it for a couple $1,000s. You don't have to break the bank to do it. You do have to do some research. So
yeah, that's the new thing I'm trying to do I now have a good career to where I can
save money and start to enjoy things in life.
Yep.
Rita, how long have you been hunting?
I honestly have been hunting for about probably 16 years,
give or take. So you're in a camp very similar to Danielle, and a topic that comes up for us a lot is you very often have started your hunting when it was mostly completely dominated by men at the time you started.
Yes. And I will totally give a ton of kudos to my husband because,
you getting emotional?
No. I'm getting in trouble that I'm supposed to get closer to the microphone.
You got 30 seconds till break, and then we're going to pick it up when you come back.
Anyways, he always, when we started dating, totally encouraged me to hunt with him and go out and stuff. So that really was what kind of started me hunting, because he would be willing to take me with him.
Okay.
And teach
me. So it took someone else to get you into it. We're going to talk about ways for that to get yourself into it when we come back on Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, co-host Danielle Fairman with me. Raised in Wisco with Joel and Danielle in the Fishbowl in downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Call us at 844-967-2789. It's a show about everything Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. We were raised in Wisco, and we love talking about the outdoors, hunting, fishing, foraging, rock climbing. I do a lot of rock climbing.
I do, what, rock climbing?
Yeah, I'm kidding.
Wait.
I don't think they make...
Wait a minute, what?
I don't think they make those, like, diaper harnesses strong enough to hold me against the rocks.
So have you heard of ice climbing? People...
So yeah, that's crazy.
I was driving a dump truck, and I go down in the quarries, and the quarries are obviously these big pits that have ice coming from the walls. So people actually go there and climb the ice. It's only like 100 yards, 200 yards.
It sounds like spelunkering.
I have no idea what that is, but
caving, cave dwelling, cave climbing.
I have no idea, but they just got their little spikes and the little hooks, and they just climb.
Hey, God love you if you like to do that. There's some great places to rock climb in Wisconsin. Devil's Lake's awesome.
I've never been.
I'm told. You will never find me on the face of a rock. That's all I'm saying. I'm glad it's out there, and I'm glad people love to do it. That is not somewhere you're going to find. I don't love heights. I deal with heights because I like hunting, and and in order to hunt, you need to sit up high sometimes, and you need to fly places to do it. But I don't love heights. No, I really don't.
I love heights. The higher, the better. Yeah, the scarier
I'm out on the
I am.
Too.
I want to sit on
Rita
that cliff.
Rita doesn't love heights either.
Nope, not loving them.
I love it enough. Both of you guys then.
Well, if you've been listening, you know that Rita Van Halen is with us.
Hello.
I'm just going to call
you. I just got my last name changed.
I'm just calling you. Her name's Rita Ver Halen, but it's close enough to Van Halen, so.
And we also just figured out that I actually knew what I was talking about before, so.
Yeah, I had accused her of saying somebody was dead from the wrong past rock band, and she was right. So, but
anyways, yes,
we went into the break talking about how you had gotten into hunting, and really the difference of women in hunting and women's role in hunting. And just you've hunted for 15 years,
yeah,
but that has completely changed in the last 15 years. When you started, you said you got into it because your husband. I don't want to say dragged you.
No, I wouldn't say, well, occasionally. Or if it's early mornings, there's occasional drags.
Oh, yeah, same.
But you had somebody really strongly encouraging you.
Yes, yeah.
And for a lot of people, men, women, children, they don't have someone, you know, tugging at them to take them into the outdoors. So what have you seen change in the 15 years? Is it all good changes? Are there bad changes? What is the reason women are getting into hunting and fishing in the outdoors more? And what are some things we should focus on versus some things we should not focus on? Because Danielle and I talk about the difficulties sometimes of being a woman who wants to get into hunting.
Well, and I think for a while, like we kind of mentioned earlier, a lot of it I think was and is getting better access. because it was such a man-dominated, so women mm-hmm. just kind of didn't even, maybe most of the time not really even consider, unless you were in your family, you hunted, or something like that. Now, so, you know, pros and cons of social media, you know, everyone can say back and forth with them, but I will say, honestly, I think some of that has really helped women in hunting, too, because it gives you outlets and places to go to talk to other women who are also in hunting mm-hmm. and to build bonds with other women, not just basically maybe through a guy, you know, or, you know, so it's something you can talk to other women. What are you doing? Hey, this is where I'm at. I'm really interested in learning more, getting into. Mm-hmm.
Daniel, we didn't really talk about the fact that is an aspect I think we haven't really breached yet, and that is that there may be women who want a woman mentor in hunting rather than a man mentor.
Well, 3 weeks ago we talked, Robin actually called in and said, hey, so let's say I'm getting into hunting, where do I even start? And that's what Michelle and I actually were talking about, that just getting started out there, that women, there's a bunch of women, groups out there that just talk to women. So being mansplained and being womansplained, two different things. And with that, you can ask the silly questions. Like,
see, I hear this term.
Silly questions. I want to say, like, with why am I nervous about saying this?
I don't know.
I feel like it's live. If this wasn't live, it'd be better. Like going to the bathroom and everything. Okay. So many girls have asked me, do you know what a shiwi is? But it's like, it's those questions that we can ask each other.
That is a very realistic thing to talk about when you're going hunting, if you have to use the bathroom. Mm-hmm. I mean, using the bathroom is the metaphoric term for if you have to relieve yourself while you're hunting.
Gotta go check the blinker fluid.
Which is a relieving yourself while you're hunting is a very realistic thing that every hunter will encounter at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But it's just like that little thing. It's like us women can talk to each other and just have fun and not be worried about it and be like, oh, I'm a little embarrassed.
Not self-conscious about it. We all have to do it.
Like, I got you embarrassing stories. I got you. Want me to start?
Right, exactly. And it's like, you know, no worries. Mm-hmm. All is good. We all are on the same page at one point.
Yep.
And so it's just
everybody starts somewhere.
Well, let's talk about the term mansplaining.
Oh, you heard that, eh?
I have heard the term used, and I try as a person in general to be as amicable as I can when it comes to explaining everything. And I am of the school of thought that there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Oh, yeah, there's no such thing.
Especially when it comes to hunting, and I'll tell you why. When safety is the number mm-hmm. one thing, there is never a stupid question mm-mm. because you can never put into your mind everything. You are never careful enough when you have a loaded firearm mm-hmm. Or even a bow and arrow. You know, you can never be careful enough. So when you're talking about hunting and bringing someone new into hunting, what are we talking about? What do you mean when you say mansplaining or womansplaining?
Do you want to go for it, Rita, or you want me to?
I guess we could probably tag team that one.
We definitely could.
Okay, so for instance, my husband got me into hunting. Love him dearly. I'm sure he's going to listen. He's listening.
Hi, Jeremiah.
But, so, for years, I always got my husband's old bow when he would get a new bow. We put new arms on it, things like that, or new limbs, so I was my size. Great, fine. And he would try to coach me through what I'm doing wrong when I'm shooting and what I'm doing. And he's, you know, telling me different things or how I should. And it would just kind of almost, well,
frustrate.
Yes.
Anger.
Is it insulting?
No, not at all. It was just more like I was frustrated with myself. So then I just 2 years ago got my own bow. I picked out from Whale Tails Archery. So we'll go ahead and just say that. And so now I feel comfortable with my bow. However, the last time that I went and I was really working on my technique and things like that, I took a girlfriend of mine with me because she, there's just, there's almost like there's a different patience, I think, almost, that you...
Is with, it maybe I, that you feel there's a different patience? In some cases, maybe there's not, but maybe you feel that there is? Or is it just that men and women approach, approach things differently?
That's what it is. I think it's the approach.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, this thing... I'm so happy, thankful that men like try to explain things to us. But I also, for one, I feel that it
again, I'm glad Danielle said that instead of me.
I feel like it's when men try to explain to us, I feel it like it's demeaning. Like they just have to work so hard to talk different that I feel like it's too much effort for them to explain things to me. But it's that sounds horrible. It's like, no, that's a lot of offense, but
just take a little offense.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little.
Because like you guys do, but it's just different. Women talk to women differently. If I can go up to a woman and be like, hey, so like, what the bleep are you trying to do? Like, it's different. Like, I can look at it and be like, okay, this is what I was doing wrong. So maybe this will be what you're doing wrong too. Like, we can talk it through. With men, I feel like it's...
You should do it this
do
way.
Do it this way because I said so.
And I don't even know if it's necessarily because I said so. It's because, well, this is what worked for me.
Yeah,
so do it this way.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't have your strength. I don't have the same clothes. I don't have the same, things getting in the way as you do, or not getting in the way
and
as you do.
Again, to my husband's, he was one of the ones that's like, maybe you should have someone else show you, or is,
okay. That's how Bill was too.
Yeah. Because he's like, me trying is not working.
Yeah. And well, plus, if it's somebody you know too, if it's your significant other, you're already like, dude, no. Go away.
Danielle's like, if it's your significant other, you already don't like them. So what they explain to you. Well, okay.
Oh, Bill, sorry that she looks at me.
I like mine.
The perspective sometimes. I have, and I tell people this very often. My wife and I have a relationship where I always tell her she's more like the man and I'm more like the woman. I mean, she's incredibly driven, very direct, incredibly intelligent, far smarter than me, far more physically fit, just better at everything. So maybe what you're trying to describe to me is how I feel when she's mansplaining to me. Is it possible for my wife to mansplain to me?
It might be.
Women are from Venus and men are from Mars. So.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's what they say. So I guess what I'm getting that is possibly relatable to the audience listening is when you are explaining anything to anybody, try to understand that they're coming from a perspective that is not your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It takes all kinds. It takes all kinds to do all the things.
Well, and maybe that's a comment, kind of bringing it back to getting women into hunting or helping women get more into hunting is having those different avenues.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do, regardless of if it's a dude or if it's a girl, a chick who's teaching you how or whatever.
Again, glad you said that and not me.
Anyways, or whatever you want, who you are, you need to find your best person to teach.
Also, just go on Facebook, Danielle, or Instagram, Danielle.Fairman. Send me the questions. I'll take you hunting and fishing. I got spots. Let's do the thing.
Hey,
I want to get everybody out there.
We have a bow fishing boat, so.
Yeah, you guys have a bow fishing boat. I got public land we can go to.
Look, this show's going so fast already.
Oh, my goodness.
Rita, what happened to you last week that has never happened to you before and still in my entire career in hunting has not happened to me?
I shot my first buck ever with my bow and arrow. Actually, my first buck ever, but it was with my bow and arrow.
Wow.
So,
were you shaking?
I was shaking the whole time.
Tell me about it. Tell me the setup.
So it came in. So I was in a different stand that night because we had put up a new one, and the seat was kind of wonky, we'll call it. So
yes, let's make sure we don't have wonky seats because people die every year falling out of deer stands.
Oh, no,
we're
going
to forego that.
It's a good setup. It's just like a deeper seat.
Okay.
So you almost have to like scoot to the edge to be able to like stand. So I stood up around 6 o'clock just waiting, you know, because I'm like, okay, if somebody comes in that way, I'm actually standing. I don't have to try and get out of this seat. So I'm standing and I hear a buck, or I didn't know it was a buck, I guess. I heard something coming in from behind me.
A squirrel.
So I turned around and I saw a buck start to come in, and he came up to where there was a branch, and he could either go towards me down the lane or away from me. So he starts to come towards me. There's a big branch right in front. So I drew back. He comes through where my first window to shoot would have been. And he never gives me a shot. Keeps walking. He gets to where there's the next big branch and a bunch of brush stuff that I can't shoot or see. And he stops, of course, as they will, because they're going to walk through the opening and stop under behind stuff.
Instinct.
So I go to turn and my boot actually hit a little bit and made a noise.
Oh, no.
So the deer actually stopped.
And that's a good time to take a break. We're going to have the conclusion of that story. And Robin Kennedy from the ever-famous Kennedy clan out of Oconomowoc, our loyal listeners, when we come back on Raised in Wisco. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. We're in the fishbowl. We went to break with the very exciting pre-conclusion to Rita Van Halen's buck story. Woo. Pick us up. So here he is. He goes the right way, which is the first tough move.
First wonderful thing. So
then he stops in front of a big bunch of brush and branches. You got no draw, but you're at full draw.
Oh, I'm at full draw at this point.
Okay.
So I go to turn and it's turn slowly, but I didn't pick my boot up, I think, quite far enough, and it kind of popped over one of the rungs of the foot of the rest.
Yes.
And so, not the rest, whatever.
Where you put your feet on the stand.
But exactly. And so he stopped and he turned and looked at me. Luckily, there was enough brush and shrubs. And so I kind of just kept my head down, kind of kept an eye on where he was. I'm at full draw. So, of course, it probably was only 30 seconds, but it seemed like it was like 5, 10 minutes.
What are you drawing back? How many pounds?
Oh, I'm not even sure.
Well, at any rate, it's always tough to stay at full draw.
I don't know. Whatever we get that set at. So, no. Oh, absolutely. And so he gets back to where, and I can't drop it because, I mean, yes, he's behind shrubs and stuff, and he can't really see me well, but
you
if I move,
stay.
He's
so
going to totally see me.
Your shoulder's getting sore, your arm's getting sore.
And I'm thinking, how long am I going to be able to hold this bow? And so he walks, decided, I guess, things were okay, walks a little bit further, goes through to my next opening that I can shoot. And he was very nice that time and stopped broadside. And I had to talk myself through, like, okay, stop shaking, line up everything.
Get your
Where am I?
Right.
Exactly.
Yep. Where's your draw point?
Yep, exactly.
So much can go wrong at that point.
Oh,
and it often does.
And it has before. So I hit him. All right, well, I let the arrow go, hit him, and he kind of jumped and ran off. And I'm like, shoot, did I, there's no way.
I heard
this sound. I saw the spot on his side. And I'm like, so no, I know I didn't. But of course, there's always that little question.
Of course.
And he runs off and he's like, seeming just fine and dandy. And I'm like, I know this was good. And so he got to about 40 yards and he stands there and he's got his head kind of up. He's kind of looking around, and all of a sudden, he gets these wobbly legs and kind of starts wobbling to the side and fell down.
Dang.
And that's where he was. Yay. Where he was when we got
that's
him.
That's about as ethical of a good shot and great story as you can have, and you actually watched him fall.
So. I did.
Well,
that was awesome.
Congratulations. That's huge. That's awesome. What was he? How many points?
10.
Holy cow.
Attagirl.
At the ears? Around the ears?
Past.
Past the ears?
Well, if you look on my Facebook, we have a picture of her on
it. Go on Danielle's Facebook. Check out my Facebook, too, Joel Clayfish. Got room for a couple more friend follows. We may change it into a fan page because we've got some people waiting. But you know what? Before the show ends, I have a dear friend of mine here who has started an organization that I'm so excited about because it is about ensuring that people with diverse abilities in the disabled community have opportunities to participate in Wisconsin's great outdoors. And that's Robin Kennedy who's joining us. And Robin Kennedy is part of the A-Team in Wisconsin. The A-Team's got chapters throughout Wisconsin and several states throughout the United States. And we have begun the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series, haven't we, Robin? Why don't you tell me about where that notion came from and what happened today on the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series?
Well, we're really excited to kick this off. It's been a dream, I think, ever since Joel started working with us because he has so much connection to the outdoors that we thought, wow, A-Team Adventures. And where can
they
go?
That sounds great.
I know. Isn't it sound fun?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just all about the kind of leveling the playing field for everybody. And today we kicked it off at Milford Hills with the A-Team Angling Adventure.
Ooh. It was so awesome. And I'm looking on the board right now. Max Vespalik has, he was there with us today. Are we able to get Max on? All right. Thanks, Calvin. Max, are you on the phone with us? Can you hear us? So we started off the A-Team Outdoor Adventure Series today to give opportunities for those with diverse abilities to get into Wisconsin's outdoors, participate in fishing, hunting, and outdoor activities. Max, you were there today. How'd it go? I was there. Robin was there. Man, I had a blast, and the time flew by. Tell us about your experience today. Wow. Really? That makes me feel that. Wow. You just made my week, Max. How was the fishing?
It wasn't ever slow, but then I didn't say something also in there and
a catfish?
Yes.
Huh.
Yeah, that catfish. Danielle was like thrilled by catfish because this is a woman who goes noodling and sticks her hands under rocks in the Mississippi River to try to catch catfish. But that catfish you caught today, I mean, that thing was an absolute monster. That was like a 10-pound catfish. Again, check out our socials and you'll be able to see that. Max was out there having a great time. What would you say? So you're in a chair, Max. What would you say to other folks who have diverse abilities who might be leery about trying something in the outdoors?
I wouldn't be nervous at first. People who have chairs or diverse abilities, they'll be nervous at first because they have to do something different. But if they really try, a lot of fun and try it out.
Would you say that part of what makes something enjoyable is getting past some of your fears to try things in life? That's what makes things successful and makes things enjoyable?
Yeah.
Well, Max, go ahead.
I think it helps out a lot. It's scary at first, but I always believe that I could ever do something, and I feel like other people with disabilities, like different disabilities, like the same disability I have, could do it.
Well, I think that's about as good of advice as we could possibly have. Max, thank you so much for calling in today. Really appreciate
you
being on
Raised
in Wisconsin.
Thanks, Max.
Robin, I would call today's angling adventure quite a success. And you know what it does when I see stuff like that and when I get to be part of something like that? It makes me even more excited to think of new ideas and start planning our next adventures together.
I know.
What was your reaction today? Because I have to be honest, for everyone there, the person most afraid to touch the worms or the fish was Robin.
It was not. Robin. I'm going to tell you the super funniest story was the catfish biting your finger.
Yes, the catfish did draw blood, and I still have a mark on my thumb.
It.
And that's how quickly we're out of time. We got 10 seconds left. Thank you for listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm Joel Clayfish. That's Danielle Fairman. Hello. You never know what you're going to hear, but it's always going to be fun.
What you're going to get.
We'll see you next week.